Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
We discussed this last week.
I'm telling you, Ciroc before you go to bed is not a nightcap. Stop.
Anyway, I woke up with a headache. And you know what I think it is? I couldn't go to sleep last night. I was up until like 2 o'clock this morning. That's unusual.
Stop drinking.
You be quiet. I do not drink. Stop making people that drink.
Abraham, check yourself. I love you still. I'll be here when you get home. I'll let you sleep there too. After you dry out like them Ray.
Anyway.
Yes, darling. But everything else is how you feel otherwise. You take anything for it?
Actually, I took 2 aspirin before I left the house.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I got to work, I took 4 more aspirin.
You just OD now.
I have, because my head was really bothering me. And you know what didn't make it any easier?
Is blood pressure?
I should have had my blood pressure checked. You, I work in a healthcare facility. I would have done that. But
yeah, that would be the smart thing. But,
but I was dizzy all day from the moment I walked in the door. I had no idea. The educational nurse came to me. She said, "Tiffany, we are going to have 10 interviews today," which means I now have to put on my HR cap. I have many caps at work. I have to put on my HR cap, and that's a lot of paperwork, a lot of issues, making sure documents are in order. In the middle of us, paperwork together, scheduling orientation, here comes Homeland Security.
What? Homeland Security at your job?
Homeland Security shows up, and receptionist calls me at my desk. She says, "Tiffany, Homeland Security is here." And
find out you got terrorists up in the nursing home.
They want to speak with you.
Her?
They want to speak with me.
They come up in here. I'm going to snitch. Take her away. Hear that, ladies? That is where we draw the line. She gets taken in for terrorist behavior. Marriage is over, so I might be doing this show by myself.
But basically, it was a routine issue, and I sat in with the assistant administrator, the director of nursing, and they had questions regarding people who work on visa. It's routine. They want to make sure everything is legit because, you know, a lot of things
you
happen.
You can't even be old. They ain't checking out old folks.
No.
Yeah, oh, honey. The people that work here. Oh, not the people who come in. Oh, they figure the old dude can't really set nothing off.
You know, they're checking the information of the people who...
Terrorist cell inside nursing home. Yeah.
Just too much.
I got to write that down. That might be a hit new book.
It might be, huh?
Yes. Terrorist cell set up in a nursing home. I like that.
Oh, after sitting with them for about an hour, and Trader came in, so they said, you know, Tiffany, you can go back to, you know, doing what you would. But it was just, it was really hectic today, and then all of a sudden, my headache came again. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get through. I thought you were going to have to do the show by yourself.
I mean, I would have felt bad about it.
No, you wouldn't have. You like to Kanye me anyway.
Listen here, Taylor Swift. I'm good. No Kanye tonight. Well, maybe a little Kanye. We're not sure. But I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I hope you're feeling better. Everything else going on? How's everything else?
Everything else is good. It's almost the end of the school year.
Man, listen. I never thought a school year would take so long to come to an end. This is like a bad meal that just keeps going and going. Come take this plate away from me. This food is No, I'm tired. Really, what it is that this year Easter fell in March. Normally, when you get to the Easter break, you know that there's only 2 months left, 2.5, 2.25 after the Easter break. But because it came in March, we had to go 3 straight months from April, May, June without a break. I know I'm not breaking the hearts of anybody listening. Like, you teachers got too many days off to begin with.
That's not true.
No,
you guys earn those. No, I'm sorry.
You married to a teacher, so you can say that. But
I also have a mother that's a teacher.
I can honestly say that I've spoken to many of folk who go, teachers have so many days off, and this, you only work 183 days a year. And you're 100% right, we do. But I'll tell you what, not too many jobs have to go home to do work at home when you're a
right.
teacher. But people don't think of it like that. They think you get the summers off, you get the weeks off. Plus, you got to remember, because of Sandy, we lost days off too. And mentally, you're fried because dealing with other people's children. Listen, Y'all don't want to deal with them on the bus and train. Y'all don't want to deal with them at the mall.
No, I do not.
Imagine dealing with them every day and then not being able to hit them, not being able to grab them.
Choke them.
But yeah, you can't choke too many of them without getting... No, you can't for so much. And as the dean, as someone who's in charge of discipline, my job is to try to figure out how to keep level of discipline in the building that's going to allow the teachers to teach, allow other kids to know that they're going to be safe. And so this is what has to happen. It's not easy. I'm actually debating going back into the classroom, because I'm almost like, do I really want to be bothered as a dean? But I like what I do, so it's hectic, and I'll be glad when the year comes to an end.
Good at what you do, honey, and I'm not just saying that because you're my husband. I think you're being a season or anything.
Well, I can see myself doing something else. I can honestly say, after 16 years, this is year number 16, I can honestly say I'm physically, emotionally, and spiritually tired. I don't know how long I want to do this. I used to think I wanted to do this forever. I was trying to get to 25 years, but I can honestly say I don't know if I can get to that point right now, because I just don't see the progress like I used to. And the system seems to be so centered on testing and things that the social aspect seems to be removed. And it seems like the more I push, try to do the social things with kids, I actually get in trouble. This is the first year in the last 7 that I can say I felt very comfortable. The principal who was allowing me to do the social thing with the young men and the young women that I work with, whereas the last 7 years, I've gotten in so much trouble just trying to be a mentor. So I can honestly say I'm somewhat tired. It is what it is. I think I look good as a fry cook at McDonald's. Maybe I'll open up a roller ring or something like that. I'm bringing back roll bounce.
I'm saying, it's too expensive to have a roller ring. Do you know how much insurance is for a roller ring?
And to give out bulletproof vests with you, with the
no,
what's
you
name?
Did not say vests. Did you say vests?
I know, I'm sorry.
Three college degrees.
How do you say that? Vests?
Vests.
All right. I see the tongue stop rolling when you're tired. So no, I can't get my Latin on tonight, but no. Give out bulletproof vests. But no, I'm going to focus on the writing. I'm really going to make the upcoming projects work. Shout out to and Isaiah David Paul and Maurice Gray, two of the other authors who are joining me in Soldiers of the Cross, and Isaiah's wonderful wife, Allison Dees, who did the cover to Soldiers of the Cross, and we are working on a book, Christian Fiction Anthology, which is going to show you the various different ways to come to the Lord. So shameless plug, Thursday is in effect. So, what's going on in the news?
Actually, I have a few.
Oh, did you talk about your week? I was in for the week.
Yeah, no.
You
know what's funny? I didn't have much going on this week. Over the weekend, I had a meeting with the Body Sculpt Expo organizers. Because next week, in June 15th, at Boys and Girls of Body Sculpt here, inviting all the children from the community to come into the school and participate. Have like 20 activities going on that the kids can choose from in addition to walk away with prizes and gift bags. And also they have a challenge for the they're having a Zumba challenge for the parents who come in from 11 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Whoever is able to stay on the floor for the longest during Zumba, they in a spa package.
You're having a Zumba off.
I guess that was be it. A Zumba off.
Your lips got damn real too? Yeah, so you're having a Zumba off. So
yes.
Whoever can stay out there and get their Billy Blanks on the long enough.
I don't even
long
think.
Enough, is that a word?
Long enough, that's too
long.
Long
enough, okay.
We're tired.
I'm on my ghetto
ease
tonight, baby.
We are tired.
So, yeah, but that's cool. So, you stay out there, really see who's in the best shape possible.
And I'm actually helping out with. I wanted to help out with cheerleading. I was a cheerleader for 10 years, but someone else I don't know. I won't meet Athens activities until I get there on the 15th. So if you're in the New York area, then their Boys and Girls High School come out June 15th. It'll be from morning, 10 in the morning to 5 in the evening. And kids will have some fun, ready to work with them, show them different activities. Because, you know, in the city, have basketball, baseball, and that's it. So this week, coming in June 15th, they're going to have archery, martial arts, dance, so many different activities. You'd be amazed. And I think the kids would definitely love it. So bring them out.
Cool. I can honestly say, hold on 1 second. Shout out to Shawan, who's on. Just said she's listening. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Shawan.
What up, Shaw Love? Let me tell you something. I actually did an interview with, and I want to make sure I get these ladies, right. We got you, Shaw. We see you online. We'll get you in a minute. I want to get these ladies' names right, because I did an interview with them. And the young lady's name is Libby Baker Swiger. Libby for short. Met her on Twitter. So, get a chance to check them out. Libby Baker Swiger. The other young lady is Cynthia Khan. And the website is Amuse Now. Make sure I get this right. Yeah, Amuse Now. Had the luxury of being interviewed by them, and it was tremendous. And we did a YouTube, hangout. And the interview was incredible. I had a great time. It was about 15 minutes long. If you go now on YouTube and put in Amuse Now, AMUSEDNOW, see the recent video. It was actually much fun. And shout out to those two young ladies. It is proof that when you have positive social networking, it can lead to some tangible things. And when she invited me to do the interview, I said, sure. All right, listen, you ask me to interview, I'll come interview. But it was great to do. I have to give Libby a shout-out because it was a pleasure to be on with her. And so I'm helping them promote their site, Amuse Now. She's trying to create a site for independent authors, artists, as well as filmmakers. And Cynthia Khan has invested her money, same as what we've did on Braven Publishing, and hoping to give independent individuals a place to be heard. So just like Braven Publishing is creating opportunities for authors to live out their literary dreams, they're doing the same thing in their own form, ebooks, filmmaking, and just through music. And so you got to link up with other entrepreneurs out there. So it's been a pleasure. And I've noticed that Twitter followers have picked up, and I have been actually on some heavy network last couple of months to really establish a greater and deeper connection for our company. And I'm excited with what the future holds for Braven Publishing. But I can honestly say there is no chance for Braven Publishing to survive if folks don't start buying books from independent authors. I have no problem with folks getting books from majors. It's what it's about. They got signed deals. But the independent entrepreneur, the independent musician, the independent actress and actor, they got to be supported. Because if we lose that, then we're going to allow the majors to just dictate what is going to be, and we're going to lose such a powerful voice.
Just like the music industry.
Yeah, because Lord knows what they're hitting us in the head with now. You don't need a bed. We can do it on the floor. We can do it in the afternoon and up your skirt and around your neck and down your throat.
You don't have to respect me.
What's it do? What's that one song? That stupid song we listened to in the car? He's like, when I'm through with you, I might actually get your number.
Right. Make me remember you.
Yes. So give it to me. And if I like it, maybe I'll
still
get a test drive. Yeah, I get a test drive now. That's where we at now. You can test drive the coochie. And then if it's working, I might take your number. So I'm sorry. We have to have the independent voice. And Shaw Love is on the line waiting. And when she comes in after the break, she's an actress who's been in major Hollywood films. And we're going to talk because she can actually speak to about the independent artists.
Entertainment.
Actually, you know what? Let's do that now before we go to a break. We normally don't take calls this early in the show. Sha Love is not a not the ordinary individual. So I'll tell you what, Sha Love, are you there online?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hi guys, how are you?
Sha Love. Shawa.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Great.
Did you speak of the health show? No. T. You can only call her T. We don't get to say her whole name.
Sorry. My bad.
Thank you. You're on my show this
week. We haven't spoken in so long.
I know, right? Oh my God, it's so good to hear you guys back on the radio, though.
Well,
we've been on for a while. Thank you for finally finding us.
I know, because I didn't realize I don't have my PC up yet, and I'm like, I can't listen, but then I realized I could call in, so now I feel better.
There you go. Excellent.
I didn't realize it.
Shawan has been a supporter of ours for, 3 years now?
More than that, I think, is it? What is it, 13? 09, right? About 4, something like that.
Was it 09, really?
09, I think.
Really?
09, 10, whatever.
It might have been 10.
But
yeah.
Let me let y'all in on who this is on the phone. Sha Love, tell them who you are and tell them about that film that, anyway.
Oh,
come
gosh, here we go. Well, I'm Sha Love, a.k.a. Shawan. But I've done a couple of acting gigs, but the one that me and KL always argue about is Take the Lead with Antonio Banderas. He always gives me mad love and support on the film. He just doesn't like the film. He just likes me in it. But other than that, I'm just an actress, dancer, and now newly newly writer, actually. So
a new author.
She's a new author. There we go.
There you go. She's on her way to penning her her story. And let me say, Sha's very modest, but I can honestly say I was on a plane watching that movie, Take the Lead, with phony Antonio Banderas.
Hey, you leave my Antonio alone.
Teacher I had ever seen in my life. I said, listen, if you want to do it. But yes, I saw Take the Lead, and of course, because I'm a fan of the fuller figured woman, I was like, who's the big girl in this movie? Who knew that sometime after that I would actually be in a studio meeting this young lady and becoming friends with her? And so, yes.
And I will say, on air, being a very good mentor to me right now. So I have to let everybody know that you are really inspiring and you're really a good mentor, UNT. And you're definitely, I always thought I couldn't do certain things, but listening to you and seeing your posts on Facebook, and now I'm actually writing a book, is just beyond what I thought I would be doing. And I've been told for years that I should write a book, but I was like, no, I don't write. But, you know, you really inspired me to do a lot more than what I thought I could do.
Thank
so
you.
I want to just tell that you that.
That means a lot, because you've actually reached, and I said this to you before, you reached the pinnacle that a lot of people sit and dream about of being in a Hollywood movie. You accomplished that.
I dream about it.
And the idea that you were in a Hollywood movie, the idea that you were opposite a celebrity, if you want to call him that. I think I would, because he's been in a lot of movies. But it's just the idea that you made that. Now, I want to ask you the question, because you heard us speaking a little while earlier about the independent author, independent filmmaker, everything. And I know at one point you were attempting to put out your own. Well, you tell what you were attempting to put out, because I was in full. But go ahead and talk about what you were trying to put together.
I was actually trying to put together a pilot. Well, actually, I did put together a pilot. I did a rough draft script of it. Actually, it did win a script contest. But the struggle is, a lot of people want you to have the film produced first, meaning the actor's in it already. It's already ready to just put on TV right now. And that takes a lot of manpower and money that, you know, a struggling artist may not have. If you want it to look good, you may not have all the money and equipment to do so. So that's actually why now I'm writing, because the same thing in the script is now I'm turning that into a book. So that way it's kind of like, to me, I feel like I'm starting from the ground up versus just trying to just go in there and shoot this and be extra stressed out and bring in all this kind of money that, you know, may not be available for me right now. I figured, you know what, after speaking to you and a few others, I'll just write the book, and then hopefully from there, you know, they always take, that's how push is now precious. So my story is very similar and a little bit more in-depth than hers. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to do the book. So I still have the script for the pilot out, but I prefer to now do the book and work my way up from there.
Got you. Excellent. And, you know, this is the reason why when I say we have to support independent everything is because these are the voices that we can't lose. The one thing that I got to give Shawan credit is that she's overcome a lot of negativity, and where a lot of people might have folded up and just said, I'm done, I'm not going to care or do anything else, you know, she picked herself up off the canvas and she got herself back into the game to do and is doing the things that she needs to do for her. And, of course, when the opportunities and the breaks come, then she's right there at the forefront. But anybody listening, understand that shows like this, things that she is doing, things that Tiff and I are doing, things that Brave and Publishing is doing, things to like the ladies I was talking about earlier are doing, they can't exist or survive without your support. I think the thing that hurts the most is that I know the effort that Tiff and I put in. I know the effort that Shawan puts in. I know the effort that a lot of people put in to make positive things happen. And then when you don't see support for it,
what I find interesting is, and especially with Facebook now, you can see everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody thinks that an A-list celebrity is whatever, another A-list celebrity book out there, everybody buys it.
Yeah.
You put your own there, you get no support.
But actually, when you ask for support, you can't get none. But you see 1,700 people post like to Big Chicks with Booties.
Exactly. Or I got one better for you, actually. What really has started to really get under my skin is that I could put out a positive video or something to that effect. But let me put out one. I had this website, but some videos on my YouTube page. And everything was, you know, about relationships and positive and game stuff and whatnot. But then I had this one argument that was actually a real-life argument. I go hard for my Michael Jackson. So I was arguing with a couple of people about why Michael Jackson's better than Prince. And do you know that, because it was a heated discussion and a lot of fire and arguing, that got more hits than something that was more subtle and relaxed. And it's like anything combative or violent or aggressive or something will get a lot more hits and attention than something that's supposed to uplift our people, and that'll get more support than what you guys are doing and what I'm trying to do. And that's just got to change. That's like really starting to get under my skin.
I got a problem that a pregnant Kim Kardashian is making more money than me, and I'm educated.
I got a problem with that angry cat who's getting a movie. Did you hear about that?
What angry cat?
You know the angry cat that's on the internet, because the cat that looks like really, really, in real life, you know, it's a cat that they found, and he's
one that looks like he's at the Stern face all the time.
Yeah, do you know they're giving him a movie?
You know what?
We're giving the cat a movie. And then, I mean, I don't mind. The one successful I don't mind is a sweet brown lady who was on the news and she said, I ain't got time for that. And now Tyler Perry.
She's up here with, what's his name, Dobson?
I know. But at least, I mean, they cleaned her up. She's working now. I mean, I still
got a problem. And I got bronchitis. And ain't nobody got time. I ran up. Oh, my God. It's a fire.
Lord Jesus, a fire.
No,
but then
Lord,
but Tyler
like,
Perry done picked her up.
Because on, they can't speak the language?
Yeah, I know.
That's almost the best booyah chick.
But yeah, those things kind of, and then we're struggling hard to get there, and it's like, you know, internet sensations, boy. I mean, that's all it takes, but you know.
We got books designed for teenage urban books that have a study guide to help you let them understand the book. Historic books. Hell, I wrote a memoir telling you how I was dirty and got myself, and it's like, I ain't humping nobody in the book. No, I talk about it, but you explain it? No, I don't want to. But let me talk about the dirt. Now, when I was an erotic writer and I was an erotic poet, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I had Yahoo groups buzzing, but you know what? Sex sells, but we not selling it, so I'm not stressing. It is what it is, and I'm not going that route, and I'll keep putting out the positive, because the one good thing I can say, the people who have come to the table, shout out to Black Expressions Book Club. They gave me upfront money because they like what it was. And shout out to some of the people whose lives have changed from the books that we've written. Shout out to you individuals who are gaining because we sit down and do the things we do. So I don't worry about it, you know, and it can't be about money because if you do, you'll drive yourself crazy because the righteous don't get paid in the world, but it's what you get paid after the fact. So, darling, I want to thank you for taking the time out. You're one of the first persons that we actually had call in before the first break, and we want to thank
you. Oh, I feel special.
Oh, listen, that's what it is. Start with the writing, and don't rush because a good book takes time. Don't rush because it's a process, and as long as you're putting your thoughts into the page, it'll do what it's due. So don't rush. The world will be here and ready when it's time.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, Shaw.
Shawan Love. Take the lead with Fonio Antonio Banderas.
And Alfie Witter.
And Happy Water, you're right. But yes, that was Shawan Love, guys. But yeah, listen, you know, I'm glad that she called in. We're going to tell you what we decided we were going to talk about tonight. Let me give you a...
Can we talk?
Well, we're going to talk about the news after the break. We got a phone call taken for the news. But we're going to give you a little sneak preview. It's not the greatest topic terms. It's going to be a little emotional because it's dealing with death. And
not
a lot of people, well, it deals with the going home or getting ready to go home and the calling home and stuff. But before we get into that, we're going to deal with the news. We're going to get into the subject at hand, and we'll give it to you more clearly. We'll be back in two songs. The NBA Finals is about to start, so we'll be back in two songs. This is R&R, Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin, and that is my co-host, T. She doesn't get to say anything more than that because she hijacked the show last week.
I did not.
Tune in. We'll be right back and discuss a few.
Sit on Collins' Ave. She caught an attitude, I had to call a cab. You don't understand its altitude, I'm balling at. I'm at the game on the wood, where the owner's at.
So different but the same, boy, you tell me everything. Yeah, you show me how to stay, you're the only one to play. It's such a shame.
Kick in the back.
You know what? You about to eat the cake, Adam. You about to eat the cake? Man, tell them who we are.
We are KL Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin. And
we are about the news. Remember we said we're going to do the news.
Oh, I can do the news now.
What? Go ahead, T. Can I see you in the back a little bit? Next break, we're going to talk.
You know, it's funny. I found this interesting article. Being the pageant queen that I am, of course I would find it interesting.
Here we go.
This year, the Miss World pageant is being held in Indonesia. And those who don't know, Indonesia is one of the most populous Muslim countries. The world pageant has the traditional since the 1950s when they had their first pageant to be skinny segment. And of course, yes, hence that portion of pageant. Just ask. So, the country and organization of the Miss World pageant, of instead of having two-piece bikini segment, they're going to have a beachwear segment. All 137 contestants are going to wear the traditional sarong during that portion instead of the two, out of respect for the country.
I don't know. Is there some type of extra economic value that's going on for them to be there? Because you start bending the rules. I can't even bend the rules, but you're giving on some things. Next thing you know, I had a burger competition, you know, just covered in.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you said that.
I did say it. I have no problem with saying it, because once you give in, and I'm a religious dude, but there's certain things, if you're going to keep it one way, keep, because once you give in to one particular religion, then you're going to have to give in to all of them, which then opens up the door for fanatics and a whole lot of other. I'm saying is, if there's countries that's been okay with things as is, leave it at. Because once you move into a country and you say, well, we want to respect this, I got that. But then the problem is, other folks are going to say, I want the same respect, so now what do we have? If someone says, I don't even feel that skin should be shown. That's why I made the burqa comment, is that if someone says, I don't even think skin should be shown, now what happens? Tell them no? So are you saying that their religion is less important to the ones that you want to respect? Leave religion out of certain aspects of things. If you didn't consider it before, don't consider it now. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not trying to be offensive when I said they're going to have them all in burqas, because, as I said, they're going to have them wear the traditional, whatever,
sarong
now. And so, okay, then what happened? And what about the folks who are not part of that religion?
It's, well, the sarong is not necessarily a part of the religion.
But it was based
part,
on religious
it's a part
principle
of
why they did this, though, right?
The dress. But what it is the Miss World pageant, every country has, not every country, but it's basically an honor to have the pageant hosted in your country.
Okay.
Okay? So they chose Indonesia, Jakarta, Indonesia, for whatever reason this year. But with that, they also had to understand that all countries have their culture.
Idiosyncrasies that work for them.
Right.
Yes, I got that.
So because this particular country is so traditional, and, you know, covering the women, covering their heads and everything.
I have no problem with that.
They
it just
did
opens
not,
up a dangerous door. It
I
opens
don't
up
think
a.
So.
Yeah,
because
then,
the chairwoman of the pageant said that there are a lot of countries that have that share the similar values of not having the women so openly.
So what about countries that say we want them butt ass naked? Butt ass is not.
You curse again.
Bucky naked. Not a curse. No, come on.
You're not going to have to. You did it again. I'm going to puck you in the lip.
That's a curse.
Will you stop it?
So, about countries that want them bucky naked?
The thing is, we know that the people are not going to be naked. Has it been tradition for the Miss World to be naked? No.
I don't watch Miss World. You know how I feel about pageants. It's all phony to me.
Coming from...
I don't like her. She looks prettier than her. She didn't walk right, and I didn't like her interview.
No, that's not. It's just so superficial. That is not about who's prettier than who and who's better than who.
That's what I see.
That is so superficial.
I be
that's what you think of me when I compete in pageants?
Coming.
Oh, my goodness. You know...
Listen. Hold on before you just divorce me. Because I see some of the winners, and I don't get it.
I'm not going to speak to you.
Okay, listen, the couch.
The duration
this
of
the
show.
Couch right over there.
This is my show.
You can sleep right on the couch in the studio right there. Get on the couch right there.
Anyway.
Don't go home. Yeah.
The
you can sleep in your crown.
The fact that I compete in pageants and also living in such a culturally diverse place as New York City, I don't find a problem with embracing culture. So
you gotta embrace all of them then.
Okay, I mean.
But do they do that?
I think they would accommodate culture in different countries if necessary, just like they're accommodating this one. I don't think this is the first time that they had to sit down and say, you know what, so that you don't bring a negative light to world pageant, because it is supposed to embrace all of the different nations that we will give in to having a traditional sarong instead of a two-piece bikini.
How many African countries do they hold this in?
I didn't look all that information up, but I'm sure that they've hosted it in African countries.
Right.
Actually, they were in Africa.
Were they?
Yeah.
All right. I'm being rebellious now.
You know, everything's a conspiracy with you.
Okay, and?
Can I go on to my next piece of news?
All right, when they put that chip in your arm and throw you in the river.
What reason would they need to put the chip in my arm if they're going to throw me in the river?
Because you found the chip. When they show up. And put the black bag over your head. Into the river you go. I'm refusing the chip from the beginning. Just jail me.
Anyway, there's a couple in Colorado purchased a chair out unique at a garage sale for $5. And they kept this chair around. The husband actually used it to play his
chair?
Video.
Chair?
Chair.
Regular chair?
Yeah, a chair that you would sit in. He used it to play his video game. They threw the chair in the garage. It collected dust for a little while. And then they were about to give the chair to Goodwill. Somebody turned the chair over and saw a label, the designer's name on it, and looked up the information and realized that the chair might be worth anywhere from $14,000 to $100,000.
That was the Thomas Jefferson chair, him and Sally Hemings.
Actually,
that was the master hot seat.
Oh, you know what? You are awful.
Okay, I'm wrong.
You are so bad.
I'm wrong.
Actually, the chair was part of some designs that were created back in 1946.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it was by a famous designer, and these were one of the chairs that survived. And they happened to come across it in a garage sale. So instead of giving it away, they held...
How much they paid for that raggedy chair?
They paid $5 for the chair.
$5? And it was worth $14,000?
It was worth
I'm hitting up yard sales right now.
Similar chairs have been sold for $14,000 to $140. So... Mm.
I got an old chair. Somebody can give me $500
for... And you know what's funny? The reason...
I found it everything.
The reason why I found that interesting
$20 for some of
is
these
because
chairs.
A few weeks ago, the family cleaned out the shed in back of the house. So right now, KL and I have about 5 large storage boxes of things that I plan to sell at next festival that's coming to our neighborhood. We have a festival each year. And KL,
Rochdale Day.
Yes, KL and I usually, it's in September, we usually... get a table, and we sell books. But this year, I told Kale that I want my own table so I can sell these 5 boxes.
She thinks she's slick. She's trying to keep me from counting how much bread she gets. She don't know that if she come back with empty boxes, that cash better
joking?
Be front and center.
Are you joking?
All right, maybe
what
I
are you, my pimp? You cash?
What? You weren't even supposed to tell that part of the show. That's the 2 weeks from now show.
The cash supposed to be front and center.
When pimping is needed to pay the rent. Close your mouth. Get back on subject.
You know what? You done lost your mind.
Get back on subject. Daddy is not happy with that last comment.
Anyway, the last time I
it's
checked
your own table.
Yeah. When we get our table, the books take up all
the
table.
Oh, it's our
table,
but you said, yes.
Yes,
our
table.
Books.
Our books. Right. It takes up all of the table.
Yes.
So in order for me, I have 5 storage boxes of
who's
stuff.
Carrying all that over there?
We are.
Okay.
But I have 5 storage boxes of stuff. Of course I would need my own table.
All right, listen. Some brothers ain't, sisters ain't buying all that.
How you know?
They
you
coming for the beer and the fish.
You don't even know what's in the box.
Yeah, that's true.
So, get this. Remember that jackpot last year for Powerball that was $590 million?
Was it me? I'm still
be on the air from 1 to 5.
Yes, I take all of GQ Palace. Everybody have their own individual studio. It'll be $14,000 chairs, though. You get a comfortable $200 chair and a nice new cell phone. But
a nice setup with microphones.
No, Rich might get a $14,000 chair. Him and Lena would get $14,000 matching chair.
The CEO and his wife.
Exactly. Have to do that. Shout out to GQ Palace.
Well, anyway, that jackpot last month, that was $590 million that one person won. The person finally showed up.
They had to make sure they had enough ammo. I'm not mad at them. They got the weapons. They good. Come get the bread if you want to.
Why is it always an 84-year-old person from Florida that wins the big, big jackpot?
They're not stupid.
84 years old.
Yes, you got a hot 10 years with the bread, and then that's it, and they get it back. And that leads right into what we're talking about tonight.
Well, she got it in lump sum. So, basically,
took it all right now. I'm a party hardy.
She got $370 million, and then after taxes, she'll walk away with $270 million.
Wow, a cougar. 84-year-old cougar.
And
Quarter of a million.
She finally
$250 million, right, you said?
$270 million.
At 84?
At 84 years old.
And come on.
She finally showed up with her son and her two lawyers and accountants and everything. I guess they decided what they were going to do with all this money.
Shawan said her name was Mackenzie, too. You better show up as an illegitimate cousin.
But get this. Okay, get this. Woman who won.
Yes.
She was in line behind someone else. And that person told her to go ahead of them.
And she asked for the quick pick.
And she asked for the quick pick.
Was the other chick going to ask for the quick pick?
Yes.
Did she kill herself yet?
No. And you know what's funny? I was reading an article.
I would be off the bridge.
I was reading an article at work.
Wow.
And I wish I could have printed it up.
Did the old lady at least hit her off?
Well,
nope.
I don't know if they met.
Nope.
I don't know if they've reunited since the situation standing in line. But the woman was standing in line with her daughter, and she was actually the next in line, and then the 84-year-old woman went a step ahead of her.
I'd be like, I get $5 million. If she say no, I'm robbing Granny. I'm going out like a sucker.
But honey, you have to get this. Yeah. The 84-year-old woman went a step ahead of her. And the person doing the ticket said, no, the woman with the child was next. And the woman with the child said, oh, no, go ahead. She could go ahead.
So Granny was trying to give her the bread. So Granny was really an angel, and she's like, no, I don't need this blessing. Me and this child just going to struggle the way we've been doing it. Man.
You know what? The mother, she said that.
How does she know, though?
She doesn't feel bad.
How does she know?
How does she know?
How did they, like, that's the old lady told that story or something?
No,
like
the woman who let her step in front of her told the story.
When she saw her win or something?
When she saw her win.
Okay.
So, the funny thing is she says she doesn't feel bad. She says she thinks everything happens for a reason. And
you know, everybody say that. Let me tell you something. That's the textbook blessing. That, look, that's, okay, Lord, I don't want to block my blessing, so I'm going to say everything happened for a reason. And Turney is like, that old B.I.T.G. mother.
She stole my ticket.
She home tearing stuff out of her one-bedroom apartment. Had pictures of cars she can't own. I had the Bugatti. Oh, man. I wouldn't be able to go to the bathroom for a month. Stomach be
But, you know, her blessing is going to come.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
that's the other trick speech. Don't worry. Something else is on the way. Yes, now watch how she hit the lotto next week with 17 winners of like $250,000. Here's the $18,000. You can buy a chair. Let me lose $500 million. The crime is free. The purge. Yeah, okay. Crime is legal for 24 hours. They'll make a movie about that. Angry fat man on the run. Boy, I'm tearing up everything. Dressed like Rick Ross, too. I ain't even gonna play. You play it. I'm running up in banks, check cash, and places, everything. Somebody paying me.
Somebody paying
Nobody giving me my money back.
We were talking about it at work, and one of my coworkers said, you know, she should look out for her somehow. Give her a few $1,000.
I don't get $5 million, Granny.
You
not getting five. You got 200.
Just because I let you get it
check this out. You got $272 million. I don't get broke off with enough that I ain't got to work no more. Everybody, her family disappeared. So I get
my
bread back.
You know what?
Lord forgive me, but I got another one.
The views of K.L. Belvin are not the views of reality.
I be sending letters every week. You want to see Jimmy back? Give me the bread. Let's go, Granny.
See,
you buy another cat?
My tears agreeing with you. She on the pulse agreeing with you. She said, I want some money, too.
Granny got 17,000 cats on a 70,000 acres. Man, come on. 84? And you can't even... Grandfather, no, she can't. She took the lump sum. Yeah, okay. Man, please. Oh, man. God bless her. 84. That's from 10 million. How you going to miss 10 million?
It went from 5 million to 10 million?
Yes. You got 200. I get 10%. 10% is 27 million.
Mm-hmm.
We good. Give me 10%. That's the least I could do. I moved out the way to let you go. I'd show my baby dirty. I'd show up in raggedy clothes and just camp outside our house with a sign. Give me my 10 million.
I hope. You know, I hope she reaches out to that woman and her daughter. And
I know there's somebody listening right now. Hell no, I wouldn't give a nut. You should have stepped up.
You know, I would. I would.
Please, you the one that said you would give your friend half if you won whatever.
Okay, so everyone listening, here's the thing. I have a friend. We've been friends for some time. And we used to play the lottery together all the time.
Yes.
And... also used to play separately.
Yes.
And I remember the jackpot had got up to a few hundred million. Not as much as it gets to now, but it was about 100, 200 million. So I said, you know what? If I won, I would split half with my friend. And she said the same thing. She would split half with me. Our thought process is, if you never had $100 million, what difference would it make to give somebody half?
Done with that foolishness?
Why is that foolishness?
All right. You made that. And you said you were serious that if you won like $50 million, you give her $25 million.
Right.
All right. That's cute.
You know.
But you made that decision before you were married. So now that you have to give in to your husband, submit to your husband.
I'm listening.
We ain't giving up half to some friend I ain't even cool with.
You know, I don't understand.
We'll treat it to a nice dinner.
You won $50 million.
Uh-huh.
You can't give away $25
million? No, because after taxes, that's all you got. So we going to have no dough?
Okay, so $25 million, you give away what? $12.5 million?
No.
You can't do that?
I had $10,000 and a spa treatment. We'll get a feet done.
I wouldn't mind. If you never had $50 million before, what's the difference in giving up $25
million? $25
million.
Okay. Okay.
It's going to hurt you to give up $25
million? It hurt me to give up 25 cents. So, yes. And no, I'm not giving it away. Now,
you're not giving it away. You're giving it to a friend.
I give it to charity first. Okay, maybe not the whole half. But definitely give my 10%. But it would not be to a friend. But I'm not sure if a friend would give it back.
That's not relevant. I'm doing it from my heart. You know how you say that when you see people on the street and they're begging for money?
I'd give it to them first.
Okay. But you wouldn't give it to a friend?
No. I don't have many friends.
About?
I'm a solitary
You dude. Have friends. Why are you saying that? I'm going to tell TJ, Johnny, Kurt.
Should I say some more? They wouldn't all get that. Listen, I give them all $1 million. Send them on their way.
Okay,
good.
So you would give them $1 million.
Not really.
You know what?
And you know I'm being honest.
Anyway, we're going to
I give them $1 million and lock them in a room.
Anyway.
And whoever comes out has to get the dough.
We're going to talk about.
Your niggas are changing the subject now.
We're going to change the subject because obviously I need to change my beneficiary on my insurance.
Ooh. They can get it too.
I wanted to talk about Kale and I wanted to talk about today.
We're
going to
get serious now.
Yeah,
but wait a minute, it's 9 o'clock, man. You want to get serious after the next break or you want to go right in?
Take a break.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The wife is making faces. I actually have to get serious, and we're going to talk about a serious subject. But it's not about giving away money and kidnapping old women until I get my $15 million. It went up $5 million because of the...
Oh, my goodness. It went from 5 to 15?
She's 84. Come on, now. But anyway, no. Really, so welcome. And listen, we want to thank everyone that's listening in from their computer, everyone that's listening from their phone. If you're listening in from your computer and you want to call in and speak to us, call in at 646-138-38. Just press 1 to speak to the host and let us know that you want to get a comment and tell me I need to be ashamed of myself because I know I'm going to hear it before the night is over. But it's fine. We're having some fun. But when we come back, we're going to do some serious talking about what do you deal with when you're coming up on going home. And as we're speaking about the 84-year-old lady, this is actually in line with what we're going to be discussing. And what do you do when you have a loved one that has already been called home? How do you deal with the paperwork? How do you deal with a lot of different things? Because a lot of folks don't know what goes into those final moments, those final years, those final months. What do we do? So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Yes, we're going to change the speed of the show just a little bit. Still going to have some fun. So thank you for tuning in to Reality and Relationships. We'll be back in 2 songs.
I don't know how to love you. No. wanna whisper. I got something to say, sir. I wanna whisper it. Seems like a perfect day to say what I've been wanting to say. Don't worry, baby, it's okay. Everything is just great. I ain't ashamed to say how I feel when it comes down to you. So many ways to communicate. For me, it's only one way. Your phone, get you up on Twitter cause you stay held on. You can even fly a plane, ride it in the sky. But it's better, girl, if I wanna whisper. But girl, I'm really feeling you. A lot of guys be talking, and they won't stop it. And they don't need your line, not you, my DJ. Speaking with you, baby. I need to touch and feel you, baby. I put my arms around you to hold you very close. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come and get with me, yeah, 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 tonight, yeah, girl. Come with me right now, my baby.
I have been straightened out. The wife took me to the side, smacked me around a little bit, so I am back on point. But welcome back to Reality and Relationships. I am one of your hosts, KL Belvin, with my lovely wife, Tiffany. So yeah, I got straightened out. But yes, getting serious because this is a serious subject that we're going to discuss for the last hour. We wanted to have some fun the first hour because we felt that if we tried to take 2 hours to discuss death, that's literally what we're going to be discussing. It might bum some people out. So we wanted to uplift your spirits a little bit, have some fun, what we do. But now it's time to get serious. It's time to talk about the subject that we had planned tonight. And it doesn't have to be one painful one, but we're talking about things that need to be in place leading up to someone's home going. If you have opportunity to do these things, to prepare. Unfortunately, you know, things happen every day. We lose people every day. There's nothing we can do about that. But when, and the reason why Tiff and I wanted to talk about this tonight is Tiff's mother's going through some things. I have a grandmother going through some things. And we have to take into consideration that the hope is that they're with us forever. But we know that that may not always be the case. So the question is, how do we do that? Before we get into the subject, we have a caller on the line. We have, is that my friend Libby Baker on the line tonight?
Libby?
Hello, Libby, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hey, how we doing, Libby?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Tiffany.
Uh-oh.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Well, we're a little sad in our family, and it seems pretty trivial compared to the subject matter that you're discussing probably, but we just lost our family dog that my daughter's had since she was a junior in high school, and she's 30 now, so
I drove up to... Yeah, we're dog lovers. We have a Yorkie running around here somewhere. I don't know where.
I drove up to Duluth to be with Abby and our dog, Spunky, just the other day. I drove about 3.5 hours up and 3.5 back the next day and got to say goodbye to her. But it's hard, and, of course, much harder to lose a loved one. But those family pets do become a part of the family. I don't want to distract the show with that subject. But my parents are both 83, and so I know that I have to prepare myself for that too.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way there's no way to prepare for the emotional side of being a loved one. But one of the things that we're going to attempt to discuss tonight, Libby, is getting the arrangements in terms of paperwork, will, power of attorney, things like that. And we're not going to go too deep in particulars because we're not going to turn this into a legal show. We just want folks to understand
right. There
are things that need to be in place because you don't want to have to start searching through the house.
Right.
You don't want to have to start trying to figure out things that you actually have the time to do. Also, video wills. Why have the loved ones and they might be in the best mental state that they're in, do a video will. Do things that are going to allow things to be a little easier during a very difficult time.
That's a great idea. We have a power of attorney for my mom because she has dementia.
Okay.
And my parents are divorced, so he has his own setup.
Gotcha. That's necessary because you need to have the things that need to be in place because, at that time, it's rough. It's very difficult. But I just want to change the subject real quick while we have Libby on the line. I have been posting all day.
Yes, you have. Good job.
We've been posting all day discussing the venture that we got together. Libby and I just did an interview the other day. Libby, you explain it, Libby. Go ahead and tell them everything that's involved with the interview. I'll take a couple of minutes away from what we're doing. Go ahead and explain to them.
Well, I just had the wonderful privilege, I feel, of getting to know KL and through him, Tiffany, and their story a little bit. And that was doing an interview for Amused Now, which is an entertainment website that's going to be live in hopefully July to help artists, indie authors with ebooks and musicians and filmmakers get their works on the internet and get them sold. And so we're doing featured artist interviews, and we did one with KL for his poetry and, of course, his moving story. And it was a very inspired interview. I believe that the Lord was really in the midst of it. And the editor, who usually chops these interviews in half, couldn't cut much out of it. She was so moved by it. So it's out there on the internet, on YouTube. If you go to Amused, AMUSED, now on YouTube, you will find it. If you search for KL, you will find it. and Blevin, and Balvin, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Cal.
Oh, go ahead. It's fine.
And Balvin.
First, don't there's no, go do your thing. It's all right.
Anyway, Cal Balvin on YouTube, you'll find it. If you look up Libby Baker Swiger, you'll find it, but that's an awfully hard name to remember. So, anyway, if you go on Twitter, you'll find it under Libby Talks or Amuse Now or author K.L. Balvin. And it's an inspired and moving piece about the changed life and the changed man and what God can do in anybody's life.
Thank you so much, Libby. You know, we mentioned it early on the show because we talked about saving the entrepreneur and understanding that Amuse Now is a site that the owner invested much of what she was doing into it, as well as with Braven Publishing, we've done some of the same things. And not to get off the subject, but just to say again, is that you have to support ventures like this because they're needed. Not lose that voice in today's world. And I know we talked about it earlier, but since we had Libby on, I wanted to bring that up and then have her speak on that. Libby, again, I just want to say thank you for everything. It was a pleasure meeting you on Twitter. And I look forward to big things that we can do together, as well as getting the site out there, because by helping you, it helps what Tiff and I are doing. And we hope that you'll tune in every Thursday that we're on. And what I definitely would like to do to return the favor, I would like to set up a day in the future to have you come on, because we definitely would like to talk about promotions and other things like that. Have you on for an interview on our show?
I would love that. I would really love that.
Definitely. So I'll definitely reach out to you, and we'll set up dates in the future so we can definitely get together. So I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Okay, thanks, KL. Thanks, Tiffany.
All right.
Thank you, Libby.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Libby Baker Swagger. Actually, excellent. Let me tell you something. She's proved that if you come to social networks with positive attitude and the Lord will lead you to some great people. We have another person on the line. I know. Look, the wife is like, what do you got this going on? But we got people calling in. We have T on the line. T, you there?
Hey,
yes,
T.
I am.
How are you guys?
I can't believe for instant. You're like, hello.
You know what? You've been acting up all night long.
One, I'm tired. Two, I'm tired. And three, I'm tired.
That ain't gonna work.
And I'm having fun tonight because I knew, you know, when you're discussing some of the subject matter.
Yeah.
It's rough.
When you started it, I was like, oh boy, no.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's not the harp on death. It's just to talk about, like, people don't think about doing a video of their loved ones while they have everything together, which is something that you should. And also, the video, if it has not been altered or doctored in any way, is also a legal document. I'm sorry, people of color, we look at death like it's a scary movie. Like, okay, grandma's in the room and she's sick, and we're not even going to act like she's sick. But we got to get away from that. We have to put living trust, wills in place. We have to say where things are going to go. Now, just because we don't have property and just because we may not have certain things, you still have to put who you want to raise your children.
Yeah.
If you have not, if you don't have a significant other that do that. You need that.
Well,
place.
That's what I was going to speak on.
Okay.
Actually, May the 25th, it made 13 years. My sister passed, but it seemed like yesterday.
My condolences.
Thank you, hon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was medical power of attorney. Didn't want it.
Okay.
But, you know, she kept pushing at me, and I'm like, God, why would she give me this, you know? But her and I was just like, oh, man, thicker than thieves. And, you know, if something happened, she did not want to be put on a respirator, none of that. You know, so I would have been the one to have to pull the plug.
So you had a DNR in place.
Man. Oh.
I
but,
got it.
You know, thank God that she just eased on out, you know. I had my last words with her, you know. She asked me if she could go. Broke my heart. I was trying to be strong, and tears just started flowing. And I told her, I said, if you that tired and if you that sick, go ahead, baby. And it was maybe 30 minutes later, her eyes just rolled up in the back of her head. But she was still breathing. But the thing, the worst thing about this whole situation, her best friend, she verbally told her what she wanted her to do with her money. And it boiled down because she left every single thing she had to my daughter.
Okay.
Which was like $40,000 plus. Okay. And out of that $40,000, my daughter might have got 10, if
wow.
that. You know, because the girl that she left it with started telling her, well, she didn't say if you got pregnant that, you know, this is for school and da da this, you know, and...
How old was your daughter?
When she passed, she was 10. But she couldn't. She didn't want it anymore. She couldn't touch it until she was 18.
But you can actually go to court. A person can go to court, actually ask for access to the money if they can, of course, that is necessary for some reason. And unless it's in writing, that cannot happen.
That's the problem.
Brown.
It was verbal.
Exactly. And I
told
the insurance, so I
know something. Attorney. Yeah, we had spoke with an attorney, and that's what he told us. If it's not written, it's nothing we could do.
Exactly. And hold
you
on.
Know, and I'm
hold
like,
on.
I know my sister so, turned
hold on one
second,
T, because I want to make sure folks understand what you just said. Very important. When I sold insurance with John Hancock, one of the hardest things is when you had to talk about death or discuss death benefits and anything else. What people don't realize is that you can say to anybody anything, and yes, verbal agreements are what they are. You have to actually put in writing, in detail, when it comes down to money, property, or your, the taking care of your children.
Any of your assets.
You have to put down for your estate, I want T to manage this, this, and this. I want Tiffany to manage this, this, and this. And I want KL to have access to this.
Exactly.
This cannot be touched until this person, and I would actually have to sit down and write that in. So in the event that something happened, they were not in court fighting over the insurance proceeds because now the money was basically what they consider up in the air. So now I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to make sure folks understand that because tell anybody anything, but we have to start placing things in writing with sound documents.
That's true. You know, and it was just so, you know, and this girl was like, we felt like she was like a part of us, like a sister, you know, but when she did that to my daughter, you know, we all were like, really? And now to this day, she do not speak to no one in the family, nobody.
I wouldn't expect her to. You know, the thing is.
That's horrible.
Let me tell you something. The thing is, money, the love of money is the root of all evil. We know that. But I always tell Tiff, and I say this all the time, people always say what they would do when they don't have the money in front of them. When money comes in, one of the things that I was taught years ago, especially when there's large premiums, you get a checkbook. Like, let's say there's a $2 million insurance policy. You actually get a checkbook where you could write a check, $10 if you chose to, because it's your money to do what you want to do, to decide how you want to do the proceeds and how you do whatever. I have seen people become whole different individuals for amounts of money that you would go, well, why would somebody be like that? Well, those thoughts and process when it comes to certain amounts of money is just ridiculous. And we have to make sure documentation supersedes that because we also get emotional. And I said this on shows in the past. You don't make critical decisions when you're in an emotional state. This is why you try to do things when everything is calm. Everybody is in state of mind, good frame of mind. You know what? I know that we don't want to talk about this. If I go, this is what I want. I have it written down. That's why I will. It's so important. Go ahead, Tiff, you want to say something.
I was just going to say, because we touched on a term that I just want to clarify. One of them, which is basically written authorization or act on another's behalf, private affairs, business, or some other legal matter. Also, another one, healthcare proxy. Now, I work in a nursing home, so we have forms that are printed up. We have a resident to our facility, whether it's long, short term, And that means, like, I'm my mother's healthcare proxy. At any time, if my mother is not competent enough to make decisions regarding her services that are being provided for her, then I would have to make those decisions. And I think it's very important. It's something that Kale and I have discussed, because as the healthcare proxy, there's so many decisions that you need to make.
I catch anybody wearing black, get thrown out the funeral. I want my casket sitting up.
You know
what?
Proxy.
You know what?
Talk about the funeral.
We didn't even get to the funeral yet. We're talking about the health.
You know what I want? I want my casket sitting up and facing the crowd.
Stop it.
I told you that.
You might as well be like the guy on the motorcycle.
I want people that shouldn't be there scared to death.
You know?
Yes. And I better not catch you in black.
Kale and I, we've talked about the healthcare proxy.
Wow.
A few years ago, it was a situation where a woman was in a coma for 40
Don't
years.
Don't pull the plug.
You pull the plug.
I changed my mind.
You better put it in writing.
Ooh. Off me?
You better put it in writing.
You going off me? You got plans I don't know about?
But, you know, I personally don't want, if I'm brain dead, if I'm not able to
breathe
on my own, if my heart doesn't beat on its own.
Exactly.
Pulling a plug is how people normally term it, but basically you're stopping life support. Your body is no longer able on its own, and basically you have tons of machinery. The facility I work in, we have a unit, have an entire floor specifically ventilators, meaning people are not able to breathe on their own. Some people are in a vegetative state, some people are not conscious, and I don't want to live hooked machines. That's the only way for me to breathe. If that's the only way for my heart to, my brain is dead. It's time to let me go.
You know, because it hurts the family just as much, because you're suffering to look at your loved one just laying there in a state.
Yeah.
You know that they probably, if it's meant for them to come out of it, pull the plug. And if it's meant for them to come out of it, they will. If not, I'm not going to sit there no 40 years. No. I'm not going to even do it for 30. I don't know if I could do it for 30 days. You know,
right.
But if that's that person's wish, then I have to leave them on it.
Right.
But I don't want to be, you know, because that's time consuming, because you're going to have to constantly go up there, because you're not going to let that loved one just lay there.
And you're right, because we have people that come to our facility, and I have to say that diligently every single day see their loved ones. And it's hard for me, because I just lost one of my favorite residents. I've been in a company for 3 years, and he passed away after I came back from Atlanta. And it's difficult that, you know, that family members come there every single day, and they go to the floor with the ventilators, and their families are not able to respond to them because they're in a coma, and basically they're hooked up to machines. They can't do anything on their own. And my facility is a Jewish facility, so they don't believe in stopping life support. So if you choose to say, you know, okay, enough is enough, then you actually have to transfer your loved one to another facility where they will stop the life support. Because in my facility, it's against religion to stop the life support, and they won't do it.
But wow.
It's so many decisions that need to be made prior.
Yeah.
And get into that form, because even the DNR, that was something that KL had mentioned, the do not resuscitate. That's in an instance if someone stops breathing or their heart stops, do you decide to give them life sustaining service, whether to get them to breathe again or get their heart pumping? There are residents that we have that their family members have DNRs on them, do not resuscitate, which means if that person, you're in the room and that person stops breathing, if they have that indicator on their arm, you have to let them go. So it's certain things that people as a family need to sit down and discuss.
I agree.
Do you want me to have you resuscitated? Do you want me, you know, what road do you want me to take if it comes to that time when I'm not able to make that decision on my own?
Right. I mean, that's like a lot of people want, some people want to be cremated. You know, and that's something that has to be written down as well, I feel, because me, myself, I don't want to be cremated.
I don't.
Because I just feel like I'm burning in hell. You know, why burn me up? Yeah, well, then I'll go up underground, but, you know, under the dirt, but don't burn me up.
Right.
You don't know if those are my ashes or not.
That was my great-grandmother, too. My great-grandmother said, whatever you do, I don't want to be cremated. And I felt the same way. I don't want to be cremated. I don't need a lavish $5,000 casket either. You can put me in a pine box. But I don't want to be cremated.
Right. You know, and it's like you said, it's something to think about, and it's something to get prepared for, you know, because we never know when the time is going to come. You know, it's so, as early as whenever is a good time to do it. You know, like far as my kids and everything, I talk to them about it, you know. And the first thing they holler, Mom, don't talk like that. No, don't talk about that. You know, this is what I choose and this is what I want.
Exactly.
You know what I thought was the weirdest thing in the world? It was about, I would say, 5 years ago. My grandmother, she called me and she said, I want you to come over to the house because I need to discuss some. Okay. So I went to the house and we sat down. And my grandmother wanted me to write out her obituary. And it's, you know what's funny? I thought that it would be a sad situation to sit there and actually have to go through it, but it wasn't. I was a little bit relieved because how many people, when someone passes,
I'm gonna write my own.
Someone passes and then you have to scramble for information and you forget information and what school do they go to and where do they attend church and you
right.
know there's so much information that you forget and that person's no longer here, so where do you get it from? So I
right.
kind of, I felt really good to sit there with her and go through things because there were things that she forgot that I remembered growing up, and I was able to sit there and say, okay, this is how it's going to be. So I actually have my grandmother's obituary. She's still living. But I do have her obituary.
Wow, beautiful.
And her funeral is actually paid for also. These are some of the things that people, and especially in the African-American culture, we just don't prepare for. And then when it happens, we're like, okay, what do we do now?
Right.
Because I work in a healthcare facility, I see it regularly. I actually have to complete the death certificates online for the doctors to fill out. And I also have to speak with the funeral home when they come and pick up bodies to take them either to the funeral home, to the morgue, you know, whatever arrangements the family made. And sometimes there are no arrangements. The family doesn't have any money to bury them. There is no insurance. And to me, I feel as soon as you have a baby, there should be insurance. You know, and I know it sounds morbid to some people, but the reality is from the moment that we're born, dying, it's inevitable. So we should have something in place. A life insurance policy. It doesn't have to be millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars, but something in place where you can safely say, okay, I can bury my family member without worrying. Because I know
yeah.
when my great-grandmother passed away when I was 17, and we had no idea that she let her life insurance lapse. So when it was time to bury her, we were scrambling for money. You know, the family was really like, okay, how are we going to do this? And I see this regularly now that I work in a facility where people pass on the regular, that families don't know what to do. These are things, especially if you have a loved one that's sick or ill, has been
confirmed,
you should definitely prepare for them and have something in place.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, we don't really want to look forward to it, but we all got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got to go, and like you said, it's best to be prepared and have it all in writing, you know, and face it. You know, hey, it's going to happen.
Definitely, definitely. You know what? We're going to see, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of people, and I think it's the emotion behind a lot of what this brings, but it's still something that has to be done. We're going to take a break for two songs, get ourselves together, and then we're going to come back and talk about, you know, life insurance, financial aspect of what needs to be done and looking into those last days and stuff like that, because that's another aspect that has to be done. So you're not passing around the hat to somebody in the ground, not worried, trying to figure out the way to go together. There's some things I want to bring to the table that you need to consider, especially when you have anyone that has taken ill, or if you have an elderly person, because I know we mentioned the elderly, but it could be someone that's living very healthy now, and then within a couple of days from now, go wrong. So these are all the things that we're going to look at us in the last half hour of the show. So, T, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on. Thank you, as always, Sharon. You have unique insight with what's going on with you, and you share so much with us, and we appreciate that. So you are always welcome here.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, because there's so many interesting things that you share with us, and it really helps those that we help it. We hope that it helps those that are listening. Hope that it's helped you in some form or fashion also. So,
thank you.
Anytime.
Okay.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. I almost forgot. Yo, T, tell them where they can find you.
On Wednesday, 7 to 9, Love Fantasy. You can find us every Wednesday, 7 to 9, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad.
Same show, same station, same website.
Same number, everything.
Everything. She's part of the GQ Palace family. Make sure you tune in and support what she does. You see she's a real person and enjoys as many good shows that's on, right, except for Saturday, I believe, right?
Everything but Saturday, yes. Every day but Saturday.
I think that's the night that Rich and Lavina go hang out, so I think there's no show.
They have date night Saturday.
They have date night on Saturday night for radio. But listen, make sure you tune in, guys. We'll be back in two songs. This is GQ Palace, Reality and Relationships. That's my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am Bill Belvin, and that was T on the line. We'll be back.
This is a radio message to my baby.
Raven Publishing.
A world play.
Raven Publishing.
A world play.
Raven Publishing.
A world play.
Poetry, man.
Raven Publishing.
Play with the word.
Play by Faith Walker and Rodius P. out of South Carolina. And if you don't know what that song is from, it's from the new book from Braven Publishing, Wordplay 2, Foundation of the Soul. And actually, Walker will be on the show next week. He is our special guest next week, and he can talk about all of the wonderful music that he creates and what he's doing with Braven Publishing. Incredibly talented. He's put together some incredible music you've heard at different times here on GQ Palace. And I can tell you right now, he is a strong, powerful man of God. So be ready to go to church next week, because we're going to talk about how you handle things when you've been done wrong by women or your significant others. So he got a story to tell and how he was done dirty and how he recovered from that. He'll definitely be in house next week. We have actually the next 3 weeks. We'll have,
we
guests,
have guests
the 13th, the 20th,
finally,
and the 27th. So actually the wonderful Shawan will be back on with us on the 27th. Ebony, an author, that'll be on the 20th. So we're doing our thing. Hey, there's the puppy. I was wondering where he was. He came over to say hi. So we're definitely going to doing some big, big things over the next coming week. So we're glad that you tune in, and we hope that you continue to tune in and that you actually tell a friend. Our dog wants to
talk.
He's trying to get in on the show. So it is what it is. But you know, before as we bring this to a close, and as we're heading down the stretch of the show, you know, one of the things that drove me crazy as an insurance agent so many years ago, that I would go into homes, folks would say, "We don't need it." I would go, "You don't need what?" And they would say they don't need insurance, and they're good. It's just, we don't need an extra bill, and we don't need this, and we don't need that. No one wants to deal with death. No one likes it. I don't know if you're ever really prepared for it. I don't even care if you know in advance. I just believe that there's so much that has to be dealt with. But one of the things that drives me crazy, that not having insurance, not having some type of financial protection.
As soon as you get your first job, that should be something that you should look into.
Well, when you're young and healthy, I can understand not having it, but that's actually the best time to get it.
Yes.
Because it's cheaper, because you're young and healthy, and the chances of you disappearing are less. But anything happens, accidents happen, and actually if an accident does happen, you get paid double. Not that you root for something to happen, but your family's taken care of. But what you have to look at is the replacement of the income that's going to be lost from the individual that would be no longer here. If a husband or wife is taking care of the family and their salary needed for the family to be able to survive, and now you remove that person and there's no insurance in place, then what are you supposed to do? Place that income, and you have mothers who were perfectly fine. Husband is now no longer here, and now they're in a bad place. You have husbands who ever don't know how to take care of the kids, and the role that the mother plays, and the financial end to all that. And the minimal thing is the funeral. You know, I just don't understand why people spend the ridiculous amounts that they spend on funeral for somebody that's dead. But if that's what you choose to, well, you need to have a financial thing in place for that also. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing worse than trying to scrounge for funds to be able to put your loved one who's no longer here in a decent situation. And what I mean by that is you don't have to spend a ridiculous amount for the funeral if you don't, but at least have something.
Like I said, mentioned earlier, I don't want to be cremated. I made that, KL, well aware of that, and we've discussed it. But for those, cremation is actually the cheapest form of, I guess you say last rites. it is the cheapest form. And in New York, I believe it's $1,000 to be cremated. So a lot of people go that route because it is expensive. It can be expensive. It doesn't have to be, but it can be expensive to bury someone. Think about paying for the casket and all the other expenses that go along with it. But these are things that you have to think about ahead of time, especially the circumstance like with Gail and I, where, you know, from day to day, we don't know what the circumstances are with our family members, but we have to be realistic and understand that we have prepared for better or for worse.
Exactly. And I think also families have to learn to put some of the beef to the side, some of the problems to the side, some of the ego and some of the pain to the side. Want to pick it back up after they're gone, that's on you. But you need to put that to the side because you have to have clear head. Need to have some type of cohesion what you're going to do. You also want to try to honor the person's request. Don't say, well, they're not here, so I want
to
do. They won't know because it sends the wrong message to the individuals that are still here. And it makes them faith in you how you treated someone who's no longer here. So someone's always watching. And if you have no choice, now if somebody wants a fabulous funeral and you just don't have it, don't go in the hock because you're trying to create the going away or going home, whatever you want to call it.
House.
You don't mortgage your house to have the lavish funeral for somebody that's no longer here. But if there are certain wishes, if certain things, they ask to have certain said, they ask to have certain things done, it's not out of the stretch of imagination, do it. Honor that person because you're also going to honor those that are still here. You're going to give those individuals that are still here the opportunity to say, well, see that they care because they did exactly what the person asked. Their wishes were honored. So please respect that. So as we come to the last 5 minutes, know that this is a very difficult subject. Know that. But there are some non-negotiables in life. One of them is, there's no reason to sit quietly. To me, that's a non-negotiable. There's no reason why you and your loved one shouldn't sit down and actually talk about if this was to happen. It happened every day. Sit quietly and then try to react afterwards. There's no sense to it.
No, I didn't, making me sound like, I did not forget that we were on the air. I was listening to you. Cause, you know, it's funny, what we didn't touch upon is the fact that I do work in a facility. Like, there's insurance for long-term care.
Expensive.
It's very expensive.
It's expensive.
But it's something that needs to be considered, especially if there's a long-term illness.
It used to be something that a lot of people paid for, but when times started to change, it was one of the first things
that people got rid of.
Because, sorry, paying rent.
But you know what?
You're paying rent up front.
You know what's happening now?
What is that?
Because I received a call from, I'm not going to name the company because we don't get free publicity here.
Yeah, if they ain't paying us.
But
that.
I did receive a call from one of the agents, being that I do handle a lot of the HR stuff, that some of the employees were looking into long care. And that's because, definitely, we're not taking care of ourselves as well as we should be, and we are now becoming ill younger. So I actually, there are occasions where I have people in a facility as young as their mid to late that you would have never seen that type of situation in a nursing home before. So people are looking into long-term care because right now we had cutbacks in Medicaid and Medicare, and unfortunately these facilities cost a lot. The facility I worked in, it cost $50 a day for a person to be there. And we have people
sit
that pay out
box,
of pocket.
Sitting up.
We do have people that pay out of pocket. They're able to afford, but there are people that can't afford. They have to ask for government assistance. Well, government assistance is running out.
Sit your home with some government cheese and a can of corn with no name on it.
So for those who don't believe, who think, okay, the government's going to take care of me, It's not that simple anymore.
Actually, the government really doesn't want, just can't afford that anymore.
They can't afford it.
Just don't. So they'd rather you just go home, do what you got to do. I mean, if you can afford it, but listen, times are so tight. Try to find long-term care money. That's tough. It's very, 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 very tough. But if you can, listen, if your job has it, buy it. Buy as many days, buy as many buy whatever you can get. It makes sense because at
the actually
end of
the company I worked for before I started working for the nursing home, they have the insurance covered long term care, which was amazing. I was surprised to even because it is expensive, but they do cover it.
Yeah, I listen at the end. I just wish that folks take the time out, consider all the things, and remember everything that a positive. Let me get this right. Everything that a person owns after they pass, part of their estate. Also have to fill out a final income tax. Tax has to be prepared when a person passes. You need to have that and be prepared to do that. So you need to know what's going to happen with that person's estate. Even if it's $500, you know, you got to figure out who's going to get that $500. Or you're going to mess around and be in probate court fighting over things. So try to eliminate any headaches as you can. You're going to have to deal with so much emotion, but if you can just alleviate so much of the pain, go from there. And like Libya mentioned also about pets, so you can put wills, you can put in,
oh, there's
in
insurance place for pets.
And you can also put your pet in your will. Crazy Leona Helmsley left what, $12 million to her dog?
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes.
Now, she need to be rocked, but I love Storm too, but I ain't leaving $12 million for him. If I ain't trying to give $25 million to a friend, I'm not leaving $12 million for the dog. So, Leona Helmsley was on something. But the Queen of Mean, they called her then. But we got a minute left to go, baby. So, any final parting words before we call it a night?
My final parting word is to sit down with your family, children, and start getting things organized, either for yourself. Have insurance, start to insurance, because even as simple as having money available to be buried is very important. And like I said, it doesn't have several hundred thousand dollars. I mean, I have a small policy. I'm not going to say how much it is, because KL will probably try to off me.
Where's it at?
But I made sure.
This is KL, his new host, China.
I made sure that I made arrangements that if something happened, KO did not have about what he was going to do next.
I'm simply going to ask, closing, to pray for Tiff's mother, pray for my grandmother. They're both going through some things right now, and I think we've left enough information on the table for everybody to figure out what's best for them. I'm going to end by simply asking for prayers for our parents. Need them right now. With that, I say good night. God bless.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we with my baby?
Yes. Say it best from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Right here by my side, you never let me go.